Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I want the ball. I want the ball.
People get it. Get it.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water, man. Y'all jacking. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
This is 11 personnel, where you have two people talking personnel and football stuff and things, but I don't know. Do we even need to talk about football like it?
I think we should, since this is a football podcast.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I think so.
But do we have to though? Like it Saturday sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked really bad. Now it was going well. It was very fun in the morning. And it was getting more and more fun, and then it ended really horribly. So you know what I did, Luckett? I was so mad that I did some extra special show prep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Less show prep than normal. Oh, man, you're about ready to knock that picture over.
I know.
You really wanted to. But instead of diving into the notes and the numbers, I'll just let you do that. I got some different show prep for us. Would you like to see?
Yeah, let's see it.
Cold, domestic, and white.
There you go.
Cheers, sir.
Awesome.
Yeah, we need some after this. It's been a rough week, man. It has been a very rough week. The basketball team didn't make it any easier last night, so pardon me, but I'm just in a sour-ass mood.
We've seen back-to-back games against Tennessee. SEC tournament, then the football game, and then even dated back to the football game last year.
Just ugh.
You felt like Kentucky should have won. I always felt like these teams were pretty even. So it was going to be kind of a 50-50 game, whoever makes the most plays. But when you just look at the box score, you see that Kentucky had 10 more first downs. You see that they controlled the tempo. They played the game how they wanted to play, slow and methodical. They were 7 for 15 on third down. But you also saw that Tennessee got the more they had more explosive plays. They put up around 6.6, 6.7 yards per play, while Kentucky only had less than 5, had like 4.8, 4.9 yards per play.
A lot of those explosive plays came with third down, too.
That's what I was getting at. Really, it was two drives for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Jerry Garantano comes in. They go on two 75-yard touchdown drives right out the jump in the second half. And really, those two scores change the game, because when you play like Kentucky plays, it leaves very little room for error. And so when that happens, when you have scoring opportunities, you need to cash in. Kentucky crossed the 50 7 times on Saturday, only scored 13 points.
Ugh.
And one of those touchdowns, they pretty much started on
it was like
right
a
outside
20
the red zone.
Line.
Yeah, it's the red zone essentially. So that cannot happen. The national average when you get a scoring opportunity, which is a possession that at some point is inside your opponent's 40. Which Kentucky did, I believe, at least 6 times, maybe 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
The national average is like 4.4.
4.4
points per game, per scoring opportunity. So
that means that Kentucky should have had 24 points.
Yeah, Kentucky had
at least
13.
They only had 13, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that was, I think, the part that's most frustrating, too, for fans and football Knicks alike, is that there's no easy answer to this game, in that Like Kentucky's offense, they did what they've always done with Lynn Bowden at quarterback. They moved the ball. They had long drives. That first drive was a thing of beauty. 17 plays, 10 minutes. They did that a couple more times, except they would get 9-play drives together, 12-play drives together, and just do nothing with it. That drive before half, you move all the way downfield. You don't get that extra 15 yards for targeting. Mm-hmm. That gets taken away, and you're kind of you don't get that extra humph, and you're stuck just not getting the. It sucks like it to blame the game on just saying the other team made more plays, but like. That's kind of what happened, right?
Tennessee just had how you want to play defense against this offense.
Yeah, they matched up well.
Well, you want to keep your corners back a little bit. You want to dare Kentucky to throw the ball. You want to keep your safeties back. You want to occasionally zero blitz but not do it a lot. And you want to win inside. You want to win inside with your defensive linemen to hold off blocks. And you want your linebackers, your inside Dude, linebackers to run around and make tackles.
Daniel Batuli, that boy's good.
Yeah, and like we talked about before on the last podcast, we said Batuli and Nigel Warrior are pros, and those are the guys that are going to be in charge of stopping the offense. And those guys balled out on Saturday.
That
Henry Toa Toa.
Yeah, he's going to be good too. He's young. He's going to be one of those guys that are like, will this dude ever freaking leave Tennessee? And I don't know how to. It's just whenever – I'm going to do the Coach K thing too when I write about him in the future on KSR and just put a bunch of T's and O's and D's and like apostrophes somewhere and just like roll with that. I have no idea how to spell it, but he's – those guys, some of the plays they made, there was one that was – it was a really well-called reverse. It was good timed.
Right.
And
Nigel Warrior.
And he went through Bowden. It reminded me not exactly of the Boogie Watson play against Georgia. There was one last year that Mike, I think it was Mike Edwards, did similarly. Or it was Brandon Echols versus Mississippi State, where he just like tackled two dudes at once. And that's what Warrior did.
Nigel Warrior will be picked in probably the third, fourth, fifth round. And when I'm sitting there watching the draft, or when you're sitting there watching the draft, or you listeners are sitting at home watching it, that play will be on there. Of him blowing that up and making a tackle, because if Bolden gets a block or he doesn't do that,
oh, he's gone.
It might have been a touchdown. It was a great call. So Tennessee is very good at big play prevention, and that's what they did. And Kentucky's offense, just any offense in general, you have to be able to create big plays. And the easiest way to do that is passing the football.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can't pass the football, if you play a good team that has a good run defense, like a big play prevention run defense, like Missouri has a good traditional run defense, but they've been slaughtered by QB run, and we saw that going in the Missouri game. That's one thing I liked about that game.
Hell, it's kind of like Kentucky, where they're good stopping the run, but QB run can give them fits, especially on the edge.
You know what Tennessee does give up, like we talked about, is they give up stuff to the backs, and the backs are going to have a big game for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, A.J. Rose had another game where he had one big run, and then every other carry was – he was averaging less. He averaged less than 2 yards per carry, and that's the third time in a big spot at home. We saw it at Missouri. We saw it against Florida, and now against Tennessee, where he's just not.
15 carries for 18 yards. If you take away that big one, I think it's what it was. It was 13 for 16. It was 15 for 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's what.
You cannot play like that.
No,
I know he might be your best, third down guy, and he's been in the program 4 years, but you just cannot have that. Especially when Smoke and
Rodriguez were so
giving
well.
You what you did.
So I've got a post on workshopping that I haven't completed yet, Luckett, but I think Rodriguez subbed himself out of that big drive. He said as much the other day. He didn't specifically say that drive, but he was like, so what do you need to get better? What do you build off of this game? He's like, I can't. He's like, I took myself out of one drive, and I shouldn't have done that. And I think that's the one where he was Kentucky's entire offense. He had like 11-yard run, 18-yard run, 10-yard run, and then doesn't touch the ball, and then 3 plays later, Kentucky's fourth down.
And I think Rodriguez kind of had freshman moment there in the goal line. On first down, Kentucky ran that, I think believe it was like an inside zone play where he would have been bouncing it out for big gains.
Mm-hmm.
There he decided not to, and if he does, he walks into the end zone. Instead, he kind of sticks his nose in there. It's a 2-yard gain. At the time, you didn't worry about it, but looking back, it was like, man, they had a touchdown.
So the first down, probably even worse than the third down.
Third down was just a missed block. Darian Kennard missed a block. Darian Kennard's been one of the best offensive linemen for Kentucky this year. He just got He just got beat in a one-on-one, and it looked
reach,
play.
Their reach on that fourth down would have been awfully hard to make, too, for him. Like, just reach block in general, especially if you're running, like, speed option to the outside. Like, that's even harder to make.
Well, the play's happening so fast, though, you just have to slow down the guy from getting to where he wants to get. And he just got beat. When I saw it live, I thought Tennessee had a stunt call. Because that's how
– fast he got to it.
Fast how he got out there.
Like, they were slanting.
And that's why I tweeted after the game. I was like, they knew that was coming because I thought they ran a stunt call. And they, but when I went back and watched the tape and wrote inside the play, that's not what happened. Kentucky kind of had what they wanted. And I see why Mark Stoops didn't call timeout. Because he said the coaches were telling me we have what we want.
Right.
And that's what he meant. Because they had the numbers advantage. Warrior came down, but instead of playing outside the tackle box, he scoots inside. So, I mean, it was going to be a walk-in touchdown for Lynn Bowden if Kennard gets that block. And he misses the block, and just like we had in the Florida game, they missed that one was a stunt. This one, that was a stunt and a missed block. This one was just a missed block, and it blew up the play. And an experienced option quarterback would realize if that happens, pitch it right away.
Yeah.
Bowden just didn't know that. And I looked at it. They didn't have the – and when you run the option, there's a thing called pitch relationship. You're supposed to keep.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible spacing.
It was not good spacing. Yeah. So even if he did that, I don't think the pitch lane was there for Bowden at any time.
Because the safety played it well, too. Was it Warrior who was on the edge that was kind of playing in between? Yeah.
He was able to play it well because that guy got that penetration. So he knew he had an easy decision to make because he knew the cavalry was there. So he could go out and get the pitch guy. If that guy doesn't make the play and he sprints out there,
then
he has to make a decision.
Yeah. And it's either Bowden walks in,
right,
and it's perfect play. That's the thing that does stink about all of this is, you know, why didn't you just do this? And the coaches kind of joke about it some. Because, like, there's some scenarios where it's like, hey, it's 3rd and 1. Do the Sawyer Smith sneak thing again. And Eddie's like, well, you know.
If you do that, though, and it fails, it
looks so stupid.
You don't do that. You put the ball in number one's hands. You put it in his hands. If you didn't put it in his hands, people are going to be all right. 10 years ago, Rich Brooks didn't put it in Randall Cobb's hands in the same type of situation, and people were pissed off. Now they put the ball in their best player's hands, and people are still pissed off. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, and the thing was, too, is that play – like, what's that pitch is – that the success rate of that play? Like, what do you think? Is like 80% for UK as far as, like, does the pitch option work?
On the – you're just talking about pre-snap alignment before the ball snap?
No, I'm talking about just when they call that play, the toss option. I feel like that play works 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's getting positive yards more times than not, and this is the one time that it doesn't get ripped off for a big gain. All they needed was 2 yards. And as Logan Simberg said yesterday, he's like, I don't care if we're running 4 verts. If we need to get 1 yard, we've got to be able to get 1 yard, and we didn't. The question I have, though, is like, couldn't you just ran it behind Landon and Logan?
Yeah, looking back.
But at the same time,
they ran 3rd down behind them.
Yeah, and true. So
they went 12 personnel. Keaton Upshaw got blown up, and that was why that play
didn't work. Big sets are not working.
I also think Rodriguez, he needs to do a better job of seeing that and just sticking his nose inside and just like a gap earlier instead of going running out towards there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's learning how to be that type of back.
A freshman who, that's the most carries he's gotten in a game.
Biggest moment he's ever been in was down there.
Right, exactly. But I think we just really got into the weeds with that there, Luckett. But the big picture of it is that, especially when I was like, I don't have this kind of, like, my hatred for Tennessee is relatively new, but, like, a guy like Romines, where I'm doing Matt's podcast with him, they're like, it's Tennessee. I knew we were going to lose. There's that's the part that stinks for most fans, is that, like, this was just one of those games where you knew Kentucky was better, but it's a Kentucky-Tennessee game, and we want to get over that hump, and we just – that freaking team, we just can't. I don't know what it is.
There is a cloud, feels like, that's hanging over, but I think it goes both ways, too, because Tennessee, they just believe that they're going to win that game.
Garantano believes that he's a god
yeah.
when he's throwing passes against Kentucky.
Year in, year out, since Stoops has been here, Tennessee has played some of their best games of the season against Kentucky. Even in the team that went 0-8, that was probably the best game they played all year. One of the best games was when Kentucky barely scraped by on the mm-hmm. Stephen Johnson leap touchdown.
Yeah.
So they just play well in that spot every year for whatever reason. And this season was more of it. But Kentucky got out to the fast start mm-hmm. like we've been begging for. And they had a chance to really deliver a knockout punch. And we've seen them in spots like this at home with a big crowd and a big game come short, not being able to deliver that knockout punch. Mm. We saw it 2017 against Florida, up 10 in the second half. Darius West interception, have a ball in good field position, go 3-and-out.
This one,
you had two chances.
The big one is, well, I'll just let you go ahead. We know what the big one is. The
first one was they get a first down on 4th and 2, I think, run the speed option, like we just talked about. Bolden, mm-hmm. Bolden gets hit, drives forward for about 1.5 yards, move the chains. I believe they run the ball and then come out, throw a play action, have Rigg wide open.
Just.
Bolden doesn't set his feet and makes a bat, throws it kind of behind him, doesn't lead him.
I mean, that ball was fluttering up there. Mm-hmm. And
threw it flat-footed, shot-putted the football.
Kentucky was really just lucky that, well, it was the same thing he did with Rodriguez on that wheel route, which, by the way, they call that all the time. And I don't know why they do it with Rodriguez. They must really like what he does in practice. But they called it again, and he threw it out of bounds. But that was like the yep. first play with Bowden at quarterback at Arkansas. They throw a wheel route to Rodriguez, and he just floats it because the guy's so open, he just won't throw it out there and let him run it underneath it. Same thing happens with this play on Rigg running the corner out.
On that wheel route you're talking about with Rodriguez, he had the post open too because it's a post-wheel combo.
Right.
And on the broadcast, Jordan Rogers broke it down.
Yeah.
And the post was open. There was no safety there, and Ali beat him inside. He just didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah. And this is where we get into the when Bowden's played quarterback for a month, and he's probably just not seeing things.
Right.
You know, how and he should be.
The two receivers they've had success with going deep. Well, they haven't really hit Wagner, but there's been some close calls.
Yeah.
And then Bryce Oliver.
Yeah, they didn't have any of them.
And both of them were out. And because of the way Kentucky moved the football, it pretty much took Max Duffy out of the game. Because he wasn't needed to flip the field at all,
yeah.
for the most part. And now, one of his punts came from the Tennessee 40.
What I could have argued in one of those situations, you never get too mad at Mark Stoops being aggressive, but on 4th and 3, I get it. There's zero coverage. But, you know, I'm not trusting on Lynn Bowden chuck it deep to Josh Outley. I'm just not. I would rather Max Duffy go put him at the 1 and try to play some field position ball where you're getting it back at the 50 or the 45 right. instead of, because Tennessee couldn't run the ball at all. And if you've got him pinned on the 1 and they try to run it out there, you might get a safety out of it. Because, I mean, their running backs had, I think, 16 total yards. It was something ridiculous. I think they're 30 yards on 16 carries or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Something around there.
They had an absurd.
Jerry Garantano led them in rushing. With
yeah,
30 yards.
Their longest rush by a running back was 5 yards the entire day. Like, it was absolutely astounding.
What we talked about going into the game.
Kentucky stuffed them from the get go. So maybe on one of those last 3 possessions where you're going for it on 4th down, maybe it's the one where you chuck it deep. Maybe that's the time you bring out Duffy. And hell, if Tennessee is stupid, Duffy could maybe even run for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I could see that maybe being a situation.
Their backs had 37 yards on 11 carries.
There we go.
So less than 4 yards per carry. Three yards and change.
Yeah. They, like, refused to even try to do it. But
the thing, like, you just talked about creating that field position advantage. Kentucky, because Tennessee couldn't run the ball, you thought you could maybe do that and flip the field. But Kentucky could never really do that. And then there was one punt that Ollie just didn't catch. That turned that should have been
15 yards.
Should have been a 38-yard punt turned into a 55-yard punt.
Oh God!
So that's what we talked about 2 years ago with Charles Walker. How
hidden good yards.
He was at that. How many yards he saved Kentucky? He was better than most every punt returner in the country because he saved you almost 100 yards in a game.
You think they got to the point where they're like, "All right, we got to just throw Lynn back there"?
No. I think Ali's doing a fine job. It just that is what you are right now.
That also isn't Lynn's strength either. It's just catching right. it.
But in the offseason, that's going to be a big.
Yeah, got to find somebody. Maybe Tisdale.
Maybe one of these freshmen coming in, Drennan, McLean.
Ooh, that'd be big.
You got to get Drennan.
I haven't heard much from the Drennan camp.
Saw today he has visits scheduled, but they're not sure if he's going to take them.
It's all the West Coast ones, right? It's like Arizona State, USC.
There's another big school on there, not on the West Coast.
Florida.
In my mind, it's Florida and Ohio State, but I'm not sure if it's that. But he's only really visited Kentucky, so.
Yeah. Well, things are looking good.
Right.
And I told you on the football podcast, I heard some other good things, so.
Regarding Drennan?
No, regarding other people, like Gatewood. Like, we still haven't heard anything. It's Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good. Let's get till Friday.
All right. Yeah, you know, I got people in Jacksonville. You want me to put my sources down there and do some digging?
Yeah, do some digging. Man, and also, shout out to the one thing that I always do like is that Tennessee is feeling enough heat that their recruiting coordinator has to show off the barrel because they're losing so many recruiting battles and because I think they're afraid they're going to lose one with Tyler Barron as well. I think they're very worried about that one.
And they have another one with Oxidine, too.
Yeah. Those are both. The Barron one should be a surefire one for them. Mm-hmm. And they're very worried about that one. And I think rightfully so.
Sounding good for Kentucky on that.
Yes.
What I've discovered.
Yes. And what I've heard. It's one of those things where, yeah. So they're trying to get to him. And I think things can get weird because of that situation with his dad being on the staff. But still.
Yeah, when you look at just Kentucky-Tennessee recruiting battles, Justin Rogers, Kentucky won. Tennessee really wanted him.
Ripka
from Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him. And then you look at Barron, could be a huge one.
Get Barron and Oxenden. That's
you could go 4-for-4 against them in this class.
And look where you're getting them from. That's where Tennessee kicked Kentucky's ass.
For
that's
years.
What they do. That's right. Where they've done well is beating them up in the trenches. And if you can get some of those guys.
Right.
Whew. Which, by the way, Justin Rogers. That dude, he can play, like, right away.
They're going to need some guys inside. That's about the only spot on the defense I'm a little skeptical about as of right now going into next year.
They're recruiting enough of them, so mm-hmm. Should be able to work.
But let's get to Garantano, just the backup quarterback. We talked about before the game, like, what I say. I said he was the best quarterback.
Yeah.
And what does Jeremy Pruitt do?
He hates him, though.
Yeah. And so
until he plays his ass off like mm-hmm. he did the other night. Now he did. Did he drop a snap or what was it? He did something with it was like a weird fumble or something.
He had that was the thing with Garantano because he's got the broken bone in his non-throwing hand.
Mm-hmm.
Ball security is an issue. So we saw when Kentucky finally got a hit on him, he fumbled. Great sound effects. Those were Touch Not, ladies and gentlemen. We had to pay big bucks to get those.
Little sound effects, yeah.
And then I lost my train of thought. So, yeah, he fumbled there, and then on the handoff, he had a weird handoff because he has to
use his offhand to right. hand it
well,
off.
He has to use his
right
his,
hand
to guide the ball more into the stomach than rather than – because when he was going left, so you would use your left hand like
right,
this.
Right, right.
Well, the run play was going right, but he's going left because
his hand
–
he would typically be using his left hand, and instead he's going to hold it with his right and like, use his broken
out.
Hand
right.
to like – gently, like
put it in there.
Right.
What they should have did was just run that power toss that Les Miles teams always run.
Oh, those are fun too. Yeah.
Right. It's power, but it's a toss, and you don't have to worry about a handoff.
Right.
But
right.
they didn't run that for whatever reason. And they've ran like Jim Chaney has ran that play in the past. I'm surprised that he didn't run that there. Maybe they can't catch a toss or something. but he came out and was just sharp as could be, and Tennessee fumbled the ball 4 times. Per my stat
Kentucky
sheet.
Only got it twice.
Kentucky only got
or
one.
Once. The bully McCall, yeah. The one that could have the one that could
that has
huge,
to change.
The Calvin Taylor one, man. It was right. That was such a huge play, and it went right to
you would have been at Tennessee's 25, 26, 27 yard line.
And the thing is the because here's a lot of that is just luck. Like fumbles
is luck.
Fumbles are yeah. It's all luck. And Kentucky, what's going to happen is they're going to get them in the games that they don't matter. Like, it's going to be invading against UT Martin. That, like, you're going to get the big plays anyway. Why can't we just get some of it against Tennessee? You know? Right. Or hell, please, just save some of it for Louisville. Like, give us some of the ball bouncing into our guy. Now, when it mattered most, it did bounce right in their hands, and then Kentucky chews up 7 minutes of clock, and it's almost the perfect final drive. Right. Like, it's so close to being perfect. It was an old school
Benny Snell drive. How many times did we see that drive with Benny Snell, where they just run the ball, milk 5-6 minutes, score with like a minute left?
I love it, too. I love it. And they had those long, slow drives.
They had it, and it was almost going to set up perfect because Tennessee had to burn their two timeouts.
Yeah.
Now, their kicker was really good, but you're going to you take your chances in that spot.
Yeah, because that was at like 50-something seconds, and you're just like, all right, Jarrett Garantano, I know you've been great, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
That luck's going to run out eventually. You had him in the perfect spot.
Right, and then if you get any pressure on him. You're
playing defense with your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Which is what they did all game. They played defense with their offense, Kentucky did, essentially.
And that's why I wasn't... Now, it didn't work out, but like right before half, a lot of people were mad that Kentucky just didn't go for it then. But that was another case of you're playing defense with your offense. And, all right, well, we're right here. We don't trust our kicker because even if we get a first down and we get stalled out, we're still not going to kick a field goal. Like, or at least trust that he's going to make it. So, you know what? Let's just kick it away. I didn't mind it. But then you give up a bomb to Callaway, and then all of a sudden they're in Hail Mary territory.
Right.
Now, it didn't end up panning out, but that's where I understand how Mark Stoops knows that he has to use his offense to play defense as well. That's a big part of it, and that's a part of the equation that I think Joe Schmo doesn't always think of. But it almost backfires.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Mark Stoops. Like, what he's building on defense is we're seeing this year. This is kind of built to last.
Mm-hmm.
Took him a while to get to this point, but he's got the staff in order now, and he's got the personnel, and it's the scheme they want is established, what they want to do. But with that comes sacrifices that the offense has to make to do what they want to do on defense, and this is a defense-first program. This is going to be a defense yearly that's competing to be in the top 25. But to do that, they need to eat clock on offense,
mm-hmm.
and they need to protect their defense and just be, you know, at some points, you know, ultra conservative, whether you like it or not. So in that creates a game style that I think a lot of people are not huge fans of, especially when you lose. But when you look at his close game record, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And Eddie Grant has had a lot of bad quarterback luck as a coordinator. You look to Drew Barker. You look to Steven Johnson being banged up in 2017. Having to go out and find Terry Wilson. Losing Mac Jones, Jaren Williams. Then having Danny Clark.
He looked pretty good against Miami.
Hope transfer out. Yeah, Jaren Williams would have been Kentucky starter last year. Like, Terry Wilson, he'd be somewhere else. Jaren Williams would be the quarterback right now. But, I mean, it is what it is. And yeah. So, they just caught some bad luck, and he's done a good job adjusting on the fly. And they're doing the best they can right now. It's just my biggest issue with that game is you go back to 13-3, you got 4th-and-3. You've been in this spot before, Stoops has, where you have a chance to deliver a knockout punch in that stadium against a team that your program needs to, like, would be a really, really big win for your program, and you don't deliver it. I think they had a shot there to deliver it, but I think Bolden throwing that interception kind of gave him the jeepers creepers,
mm-hmm.
and then he's looking at it like, well, they're not doing much. All they can do is really throw 50-50 balls on offense. So I'm going to take my chances and let's punt right here, thinking that Duffy wouldn't punt it in the end zone, thinking they'd get it down.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. And then that kind of gave Tennessee a breath of life. And then before you know it, Kentucky's losing the ball game. Literally, they touch the ball once after that point, go 3-and-out, and then boom, they're losing the ball game. And it just changed the total game. So I think the staff – I think after the season, maybe they need to look when they get a lead like this, a 10-point lead or so, a 2-possession lead. What do we need to do to get that up to 3 possessions? Because if we get a 3-possession lead with this defense and our ball control offense, we should be pretty damn good against whoever we're playing.
That's a point that Derek Terry made. Like, because I was quick to go to the rivals, like UK's inability to beat them. Now, granted, people all have different definitions of rival. I just look at them as the teams I hate. I hate Florida, hate Tennessee, hate Louisville. Just hate them. I just do. And now while Louisville had a nice little run there, the team that you've beaten the most often, Florida and Tennessee have stunk, and you haven't been able to get those wins. That's where I went to after the game because I was just – the Tennessee –
there's been a bunch of 50-50 games, and you've been on the short end of the stick way too many times.
Yeah. Now, against the other teams, you've done well, like against your South Carolinas and Missouri. That's where you've done well in the 50-50 games.
That's where that the football law of averages is kind of balanced out in that.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing. You would take a couple more losses to Mizzou – South Carolina to have a couple more wins over Florida and Tennessee.
Because I hate them. And normally losses don't make me that mad, but that's what Tennessee does. It makes me mad because I hate them. I hate the way they talk. I hate the way they sound. I hate the way they look. I hate the color orange. I hate everything about Tennessee. I remember there was one time, Luckett, where we were on this like hiking trip in the Smoky Mountains, and we were like stopping to get supplies at a Walmart. And I saw just the beautiful woman. And when I realized that she had a giant Tennessee logo on the back of her shirt, it was like Pavlov's dog. I got like a disgusting taste in my mouth. Just like, ugh. It's just, Tennessee is, it's the worst. It is the absolute worst. And I hate them. And I cannot stand to lose to them in these games. And the point that I was getting at when I started at all of this is that I could, like, my blinders were up because I was so fuming mad. And I was mad all day Sunday. I don't know. Normally Sunday is my, like, all right, I'm going to get some chores done. You know, I'm going to watch some NFL. I'm fine.
Recharge the batteries.
No matter what, it's my day off. I'm enjoying myself. I couldn't enjoy myself. I was so mad about the Tennessee game. I was mad. It took the wife, like, making me breakfast and then, like, kind of making fun of me to, like, and then getting out Christmas stuff. Just stuff that objectively, like, whatever we got to do to make Nick happy, we had to do. That was what I had to do to get through and just kick off some of the rust. Now, friend Derek Terry, he went and he was like, wait, they had a double-digit lead. What the hell's up with Stoops' double-digit lead? So he went back, and I think it was the eighth time that Kentucky's lost at home in last four or five years. So since Grant got here, eight times they lost at home. Six of those games they had double-digit leads. And a lot of those were in the second half where they had a chance to really put them away, and they didn't. And it was that Florida game in 2017.
Georgia 2016, which I hate to contradict myself, but they did go for the kill shot there, but that – had a touchdown and dropped
just
it.
Gives it right to him. Yeah. Which is the same thing that they did in this game where they went for the kill shot with Bowden and he just doesn't lead Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it might not be I think they're even picking their times right when to go for kill shots, but they're just not landing them. They're swinging big. It's not only are they swinging big and missing, but they're leaving themselves wide open and then just getting rocked right in the jaw.
I know Kentucky has some guys with experience on the roster, and I think it's a really well-balanced roster kind of age-wise, but some important players we're seeing are young.
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple years, we saw, especially last year, in winning time, it was Josh Benny.
Mm-hmm. Josh Ali, as Cole Kubrick said, he made more winning plays. Josh Allen, yeah. Josh Allen made more winning plays by a defensive player than he said he's ever seen.
And it wasn't – I mean, Allen was great, but everybody knew, like at the Citrus Bowl, everybody knew Kentucky went three and out because Snell was out of there.
Yeah.
Let's just stop him a field goal on that last drive. We know Snell's going to get at least two first downs.
Yeah.
We know it, that's going to win the game. At Florida, we knew he was going to be able to get at least two first downs to get that clock under a minute. So those plays, you kind of forget about those.
Mm-hmm.
But those are huge plays because that's significant to winning a football game. And so now they're trying to find how they're going to win these games. Like, who's going to be their guy? Who's going to be the guy they go to?
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was going to be Bowden, but now he's playing a different position altogether. So he's learning on the fly.
Right.
They're leaning on the OL, but they're having a couple mistakes that are really hurting them.
And it's by, like, some of their younger guys, too.
And then the experienced running back, they've really not been able to go to, so they're going to freshman, which, by the way, Kavase Smoke, I think, broke through that freshman wall.
Hmm.
He showed some juice that we haven't seen since that Florida game.
Yeah.
So that was good to see.
And some of it was probably just rest and physical, you know, being able to get back his feet back.
That's exciting to me for the going in the last couple games. But they're just trying to find, like, who are the guys that are going to make the big plays for them. So I think that's affecting them in some of these close games. So it sucks to lose to Tennessee. I was pumped for that game. I thought it could have been a really big win for the program.
Y'all should have seen Luckett too, man. Luckett is I'm only wearing a pullover and was it visor still?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pullover, visor, and receiver gloves.
Yep.
That's likes my to feel that cold.
That's my weather. I love it.
I'm at least like I'm toboggan. Real gloves and pullover. I don't need like some big heavy coat, but I need at least something for the.
I can't do a toboggan because it just. I hate the toboggan hair you get.
Oh yeah, I hate it too. No, <my bad. laughs>
okay. But even your ears, my ears get too warm in the toboggan.
No, there is something true to like the ears are the ultimate thermometer of your face,
right?
Because once the ears get too toasty, then you're just done.
Mm-hmm.
As your face gets flushed, it's game over. And you also, too, had some liquid warmers as well.
That helps.
Yeah, that always helps. Which I think at Vanderbilt, we're going to get to enjoy those this weekend. Well, you'll get to enjoy those this weekend.
In the stadium.
In the stadium. You can purchase it. You don't have to sneak it in your boots.
I feel bad for those beer vendors already, for all these pissed off Kentucky fans coming down there.
And this is the only beer game of the year. Mm-hmm. Every one of UK's road opponents was like one of the four places where you can't serve beer. And
but just get ready because this will be my first time making the trip to Vandy.
Oh, really? It's bad.
I'm ready to see the dump.
It's so bad.
But this is going to be even worse than usual because nobody's going to show up to this game. They're having bad attendance already.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing really big going on. It's not even senior day. Senior day's next week.
So I kind of am worried from the aspect that. A, that it's just going to be so dead that nobody's going to be there. And B, McGinnis brought this up. The players, they do – I feel like their players really do like Derek Mason. So they're like, well, hell, we got to get him a win. Almost like that – was it the Missouri game?
See, I wonder if the win's just kind of out of their sails after that because they played hard the last 3 weeks.
And
the offense is just – we're going to get to that in a little bit. The offense just stinks it up. And – the defense quit in the second half last week against Florida because the offense was so bad.
Was the field
so goal? I think that it could be a thing where they might have just
they're done
settled it. They've waved the white flag
because I will
could
of,
be
of
could
all
be.
Of the like in basketball. It be like trying hard when you suck in basketball. You can at least go out and get like 40 points. You know, you can at least tell yourself like, well, hell, if I play well, then I'm still the big dog.
There's only five players on the court.
Yeah. But in football, I mean, you're getting your ass kicked, like physically just getting your ass kicked every day. And having to wake up sore, like that kind of mentally just wears on you. It's a long season. Hell, it mentally wears on me, and I'm just got to freaking ask the kids questions. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to do that much. They not only have to go through the mental trauma of all that, but they're getting physically beat up every week. And for the guys like Kalijah Lipscomb and Pickney and Keyshawn Vaughn, who are like, hey, Keyshawn Vaughn. Yeah, it is Vaughn. I got him confused with Kayvon Allen at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong ones. But
spell it similarly.
Yes, very similar. And also, it should have been Keyshawn at Florida, too. I don't know why it was Kayvon. I digress. Those dudes are like, well, we got the NFL next year, so.
Kalijah Lipscomb, I haven't watched every game. But he seems like they've kind of checked him out. I don't know if it's coaching-wise or player-wise.
Who was telling me they don't even throw it to their tight end? Was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why?
They don't even throw it. Lipscomb has 2 catches in the last 4 games.
He's going to be drafted.
Right. And then Pinckney, who was – when we talked about all SEC picks, that was the guy I rode for. I rode for this Vanderbilt skill talent. Because I love Keyshawn Vaughn, I love Lipscomb, and I love Jerry Pinckney. And he has 15 catches on the season.
15 catches?
He caught 50 balls last year. He has 15 catches.
So, basically, their quarterbacks are just...
The quarterbacks stink. If we're just putting it bluntly. Okay.
My question for you. Is Mo Hassan going to be back? Are they going to...
He's been out with a concussion the last couple weeks.
Was he even good, or was that just kind of fluky?
No. They just saw something that they thought they could take advantage of it running the ball, but they really didn't do much on offense against Vanderbilt. And then Hassan got knocked out of the game, and Riley Neal led them on their two biggest drives of the game.
Missouri, right?
Yeah. Their number win against Missouri. So anyway, Derek Mason in his first year, he had a guy by the name of Carl Durrell, who was a head coach at UCLA a few years ago, got fired. He hired him as offensive coordinator. Most people mocked it because they thought it was a bad hire because Carl Durrell wasn't a great play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he was pretty bad. They were 3-9, 0-8 in SEC his first year. After that, he made an offensive change. He hired a guy by the name of Andy Ludwig, who called plays at Utah and Wisconsin. Ludwig comes in the same year as Kyle Shermer. Those two together go. Now, this isn't going to be great. You're going to say, you're going to scoff at them. What does that mean? But you have to remember, we're talking about the Vanderbilt Commodores. In the next 4 years, they go 21-29, 9-23 in the SEC. They have wins over Kansas State. They beat Tennessee three times, went at Georgia.
And went to three bowl games.
Went to
Is that correct?
Two bowl games. Went 5-7 the other another year.
They were up. They were one of those that was potentially going to get the 5-7 bowl bid, right? Mm-hmm. And they ended up not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were like a candidate for it, but they ended up not needing them.
Well, they would. I think they would have got it last year, but they ended up getting that 6th win when they blew out Tennessee last week of the season.
That's so weird.
So,
too.
Per S&P, it was a slow climb for his offense. They started out 120th, then went to 89th, 41st, and they finished 24th last year with Shermer and all that skill talent I talked about. So Ludwig leaves with Shermer. Shermer graduates. Ludwig is now the coordinator at Utah, who they're having a really good year out there on offense.
That guy, he realized, ooh, don't think I'm going to have anybody to throw the ball with this year.
And so now when you look at their offense, they have some ugly, ugly, ugly numbers.
Ooh, let's hear them. You don't have to give the exact numbers, just the rankings.
I got it.
Just the rankings. Those are fun.
Vanderbilt is 106 in scoring offense. 121st in yards per play.
Ugh.
129th in passer rating.
Ooh, there's only 130 teams.
130th in third down offense. 126th in red zone efficiency. And 120th in 20-plus yard plays. Now, this is with a running back who by himself had 1,244 rushing yards in 2018, 7.92 yards per carry, 12 touchdowns, 10 rushes of 40-plus yards.
How many?
6 rushes of 60-plus yards in 2018.
So did
this
you
is Keyshawn Vaughn I'm talking about.
Receiving yards, too?
No, I don't have those put up.
I bet those are pretty decent, too.
Yeah.
Just from screen game, you know.
So now I look at.
He's probably was 1,500 total yards last year.
2019, here's what Keyshawn. That was with missing two or three games, too.
Yeah, because he got hurt in that Florida game. They had Florida beat in Nashville.
If they would have had him against Kentucky last year,
Kentucky
could have been in big trouble.
Yeah.
So anyway, Keyshawn Vaughn in 2019, 818 yards rushing, so he's a chance at 1,000, not bad, but 4.93 yards per carry. 3 yards per touch, he's less than what he got last year.
So basically, this new guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Who is it? Where did this new guy come from?
6 touchdowns, 3 rushes of 40-plus yards after getting 10 last year, 0 rushes of 60-plus yards after getting 6 last year. She gives me their offense coordinator, Jerry with a G.
Oh no! folks, you know this story. It's Jerry with a G. It's like Jeff with a G.
He's an alum. He's an alum of Nick Rauch's favorite football program,
Purdue Boilermakers,
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Oh God! Of course. God.
Jerry Godowski, G D O W S K I.
How about them Boilers beating Northwestern with a third string quarterback though?
Those Western just can't buy one, man.
My God. It's something about watching their field, too. It looks like they're playing in the fescue at the British
Open. They grow it out, man.
It's so hot. Poor Pat Fitzgerald, though. He's bought him some goodwill. He can afford a bad year.
There was betting odds I saw this week about coaches being fired. Who's the next coach to be fired? Like odds.
Uh-huh.
And Fitzgerald was there at like 60-1. I said, Pat Fitzgerald.
Wait. Also,
he could go 0-13.
Yeah, exactly. He's the greatest player and the greatest coach that school's ever had. But it is hilarious though that Purdue is on their third string guy, and the over under in that game was like 36-38.
My brother was on it.
Oh my God. he went on the under.
Yeah.
I think Purdue had 34 points, right? Mm-hmm. It was like 34-31 or something.
Speaking of bad beats. on the unders. Baylor TCU. I believe it was 9-9 going into overtime.
What did it finish?
29-26. It went over in the third overtime.
Could you imagine on that ticket?
They did. When his touchdown scored in regulation. No, I was listening to it all the way into the
pregame. We had it on. That was the second game we were watching with Minnesota Penn State at the tailgate.
Oh, man. Yeah, my second game was Western and the Arkansas Razorbacks until – I mean, that got out of hand. Like, in a – I mean, really out of hand. Tie Story Revenge game. The Bobby Petrino Bowl, many people were calling it.
They had – oh, yeah. That's
yeah,
a good point.
Bobby Petrino Bowl. That. Which
they had a,
it's time to come home.
They had a, from all intents and purposes, from what I've heard, I didn't get to see any of it, but a fire you crowd for Chad Morris.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And the fact that on the first drive, too, like it, so Arkansas, they're on their seventh quarterback, who he just goes by like four initials, JSJ or something like that.
That's Jerry Jones' grandson.
Oh, really? So they're playing JSJ, and he threw an interception on the first drive. So Western's got like the 40. They have their receivers. They have a dude who's it's like Lucky Jackson.
Yes, what? WKU. He's good.
Yeah. Well, he dropped like two wide open third down passes, and you're like, oh, God, really, Western? You get a golden opportunity. You're going to screw the pooch. Well, Helton's like, screw it. We're going for it. Goes for fourth down twice on the first drive. They get it. And you can just see Arkansas. They're like, shit, here we go. And from that point on, Rakeem Boyd had like an 80 yard touchdown.
I saw that.
And after that, it was nothing for Arkansas, which, by the way,
Rakeem Boyd's been really good this year, too.
What is Arkansas without Rakeem Boyd? Like, are they even getting points, points?
The quarterback play and the O-line play has been so bad, and then the defense.
Bumper pool, though.
And the defense has good players. It's just they quit on the coaching staff.
All right, so while we're talking about this, is Arkansas going to get weird with this hire?
I think they could. I think there's a very good chance they could call the guy in Pullman.
Because
they're missing on their top two targets. Their top two targets are
Norvell
and Gus.
Yeah. And, well, Gus, I can at least see the scenario just from a, like, the wheels start falling off, and he's like, they'll pay me a lot, and, like, I can just be weird there, and I don't have to deal with their crap. Because Auburn, you know, Auburn fans, they're finicky as hell.
But all Gus has to do is beat Georgia or Alabama. If he beats one of them, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And they're, what, 7-8? What are they right now? 5-3?
Auburn is six losses.
6-2.
There's 7-2.
Yeah, so you beat one of them, it's a 9-win season.
Going to the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, he's fine. But there is a scenario, though, where, like, the wheels fall off and he just wants to get out. That's if they're lucky, but that's probably not going to happen.
See, I think it could be more likely that he ends up at Florida State before Arkansas.
Because true.
If you look at his resume.
Yeah, he's Florida State.
Right? Why wouldn't Florida State hire him? If you just look at his resume, why? Why wouldn't they?
And you know what's weird that you mentioned that, though, Luckett? What's very weird about it is that it's only like when Feldman or any of those guys like do their stuff, they'd never mention Gus at Florida State, but they always mention him with Arkansas just because of his ties there, and that's where he got started. And
they say that Arkansas gave him a monster offer that would have paid him like saving money in the last, but he turned it down. And Auburn turned around and gave him that 7-year, $49 million extension everybody made fun of.
Yeah. But you're right. He would fit. The only reason why I think he wouldn't, though, look it, is because Florida State's, are their fans that much different than Auburn's? Like, yeah,
it's just easier to win there.
Yeah. Yeah, but the only difference is that, I mean, he's I guess there your rival is beating Miami and the other Florida, which he can do.
Gus Malzahn ain't scared of Dan Mullen.
Yeah. You're right. You're right about that.
But I think both those searches, the Florida State, can get really weird because I went back and watched their AD's press conference.
How weird was that?
You know, he's
big on like we're gonna hire somebody before November's over.
Like I could see them promoting that interim, making him full time.
Oh God,
I could see them hiring somebody out of the blue. I could see them hiring Mike Norvell. I could see them hiring Stoops. I mean, I could see them going about 6-7 different directions. Then at Arkansas, I think there's two clear targets, and if they miss on those two, which I think there's a very good chance, then who the hell knows? I think when you look at it, it could be like, we just need somebody in here that's good. And then Leach would make a lot of sense.
I love that on all of the, like, when they're looking for the check boxes in the Arkansas job, that they're like, well, we got to have, more of a proven head coach, because Chad Morris obviously wasn't. But he also needs Texas recruiting ties. And then that just really narrows that window. And you're like, well, it'd be nice, too, if they could get funky. And then, like, you're right. You're like, call Mike Leach. What are you waiting on? Like, is there anybody else that checks any of those boxes?
The problem
better?
Is, the guy that fits that description is Sonny Dykes. But how do you hire an SMU coach?
No, you can't.
Two times in a row.
You can't. And who's the dude that explain to me Willie Fritz.
Okay, Willie Fritz started out as like a D2 head coach, won national championships, moved up to FCS, won there. So he's won pretty much everywhere he's been. It's been a slow climb for him. He's kind of like the John Beilein of college football. John Beilein was never an assistant. Fritz was an assistant, but he started out at the bottom of the bottom and has kind of slowly climbed his way up the ladder. And so he goes to Georgia Southern, their first year in FBS and Sun Belt. They won the Sun Belt, go undefeated. And he surprised a lot of people by taking the Tulane job, but he thought it was more of a fast lane because he wants to coach a Power 5 team.
Yeah.
He just wants his chance. So he's jumping at the first offer he gets. It could be Vanderbilt. It could be Rutgers. It could be anybody. He's jumping at that first opportunity. So if you get him, he's just a ball coach, bottom line. You know?
For a second, I got him confused with the North Texas guy who
– Latrell.
People who are like, hey, they're not a great year this year. They only have 4 wins.
They lost their offense coordinator out to USC.
Yeah, so they're like, but they almost hired him last time, so why not hire him this time? That's what I love is like, well, they almost hired him last time. Why not this one?
There's some rumors.
Which is, it worked out for John Calipari, but it doesn't. That's not how it works in football.
There's rumors around Norvell that no one really talks about, but that he's kind of has some shady recruiting stuff. That he's swimming in some...
In Memphis? Never.
Some weird waters. So, Arkansas, it came down to Morris and Norvell last search. And they ended up hiring Morris. I think they thought it was a safer hire. So, now people are wondering if he, like, they passed him once. You know, F you. Right. Not going there. So, I mean, and he's got it cooking at Memphis. So we'll see. That search could get weird. It's a tough job. And then it could even get more weird if Ole Miss or Mississippi State opens, because then they're kind of recruiting the same candidates.
Yep, looks like Rutgers about to get locked up.
Shiano.
Mm-hmm.
Should already happen. They're taking too long.
Yeah, what the hell is – why? Well, there's no reason to even wait understand. Either. And also the fact that they were like, yeah, he met with the governor, so it's about to happen. What the hell, you got to meet up with a governor to hire a football coach?
I think it's money reasons.
Oh, because Shiano wants a lot more or something?
Yeah. So I think they're going to have to kind of do what Kentucky did, like go through the – state government to get a bond or whatever that was. I think that's why.
Oh, man.
That's why it's taking so long.
That's hilarious. Okay, enough coaching search stuff.
Back to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So give me a quick scouting report on this stadium. How many times have you been there?
This is actually only going to be my second, because the last one, Vanderbilt skimped so hard on media that they wouldn't approve 2 people from KSR to go. And which, by the way, there's only like 6 Vanderbilt media members.
How big is the press box? Is this the smallest in the SEC?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. They don't like cater anything. And they just like, you know, I enjoy the Chick-fil-A meals that they provide us, but it's very small. It reminds me of...
So you've never been as a fan?
No, never been as a fan. But they're down below. Like, it's like uneven pavement almost, and like rocky. It kind of reminds me of like almost like... When you go under Cardinal Stadium and like you have the like
new
hills, the new one where there's like hills underneath the concourses, and it's really low ceiling.
Right.
It kind of has a feel like that, but the crappiness of old Cardinal Stadium where there's just like random poles and support beams. And
I read earlier this year that they have had 0 renovations since the place opened.
The one thing that's kind of nice though is that. If you want to just watch and you're in the area, you can just stand
and
watch the game.
I've been in the area. I've seen the stadium before, just never been to a game there.
It's just crappy. It's just not good. What I worry about is them not having enough beer lines, because I can totally see them not having the infrastructure.
That's happened. I know LSU and Georgia both
tapped them out.
Tapped them out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to take a. There's not going to be as many Kentucky fans as there were LSU. It's going to take a hell of an effort to get to that point again.
Right. Which I do. There's, as Mark Stoops said, Kentucky fans love going to Nashville.
Right.
I'm actually just going down Friday and leaving after the game Saturday. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do Sunday. But you're going down Saturday and just staying the night, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that's the plan for a lot of people. And the thing that's nice, too, is it's not too far from all those Midtown bars, the Demumbrian kind of area. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Be. I like that more than the honky-tonk crap anyway. You know, like for SEC tournament, it's so damn expensive.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. I've done it.
100 times, right?
Yeah, you know, it's... Well, how much more can I? How many more times can I go to Tootsie's? You know.
Like, well, last time we were in Nashville was during the draft, and we didn't go downtown because it was just a zoo down there.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to hit up. I believe it's called Midtown, maybe.
Yeah, Midtown's that they refer to it.
And we had a
pretty
ball.
Nice, yeah.
So we're excited.
Yeah,
but hopefully we can get a win.
Yeah, that would be nice because, frankly,
we haven't got a road win this year. Kentucky has.
I'm starting to slowly get through this. Maybe some of it's because of the cold beers. Maybe some of it's just time is helping me get out of this funk that I'm feeling. But you can't not get a win. Just I don't even want to think of
it'd be the worst loss of Mark Stoops era if they lost this game.
Because the worst one right now is probably the game in 2015 when they needed it to go bowling and they let the dude uncovered. And DJ Elliott said, well, it's a football thing. You don't understand.
But that Vanderbilt defense per SP finished top 20 in the country. That was a good damn defense that they lost to. This Vanderbilt team, you know, ain't on that level. Both their offense and their defense is bad.
That Vanderbilt defense had Zach Cunningham, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's
and Oren Burks, who's I believe starting for the Packers.
Sounds right.
So they had some ball players on that team.
They had to give this from Vanderbilt too.
Ryan White,
yeah.
This team for Vanderbilt, like their defense, I believe it's. They're going to return all of their top 10 tacklers next year, I believe is the stat.
Wow.
And they have a sophomore linebacker, Demetri Moore, leads them in tackles, who I really like. I think he's going to be a really good player. By the time he's a senior, I think he's going to compete for all SEC honors. But in their secondary, he's got a lot of nice young players. But their defensive line is the worst Kentucky has seen since that Eastern Michigan game.
Oh, good.
So...
You didn't like it. That's the good news I needed to hear.
So they run a three.
Needed that.
They run a 3-4 scheme.
Oh gosh, Kentucky's just gonna.
They run a 3-4 scheme.
Run it down their freaking.
They're gonna try to do the same thing Tennessee did, but they're not gonna be able to.
They don't have the dogs.
Tennessee had the bodies to hold Kentucky's offensive line off, so their linebackers and secondary players could run downhill and make tackles. They're gonna have to take more chances. With those chances come, if Kentucky does their job, there's gonna be big lanes for big gains. And I'm excited to see Kavase Smoke, see if he can keep it up, see Rodriguez, see what he can do, and I think Bolden's going to get back to having another big game on the ground. But the biggest thing in this is start. If you get a hot start, Vanderbilt's going to, I think, fold. If you don't, if you do what Missouri did.
And you've done it the last couple weeks, too.
If you do what Missouri did when they went down there, let them hang around, then it could get a little hairy.
And like I said earlier, with that stadium, you've got to provide your own juice.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mark Stoops is mixing it up this week in preparation of that.
Yeah. They're going down. They're going to do their walkthrough at the Titans Indoor facility instead of
– on Friday.
Right. And it was basically – he was like, yeah, just whenever we go down there, something's off. So we're going to switch things up, get in there, and get some good prep in. And hey, maybe the Titans might be like, "Ooh, you can borrow Wesley Woodyard. He played for you. Why not?"
He can give a good pump-up speech. The biggest thing I worry about in this game is last time Kentucky had a loss like this in the season was Florida, and they came out and laid 2 straight eggs before the bye at Mississippi State, at Vanderbilt.
Ugh.
Just didn't play well in any facet.
Don't stop. Just don't.
Or Mississippi State and South Carolina, excuse me.
Yeah.
So, can they show maturity? Can they grow from this? Let's see what they can do. But bottom line is, bottom line is you cannot lose to this Vanderbilt team. You need to go down there. Mm-hmm. This needs to be a get-right, get-well game.
Get it right, get it tight.
Go down there.
Like Cal apart, Bubba Sparks.
Beat them up.
Booty, 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 rocking everywhere.
And Vanderbilt has played a scheme similar to this. Remember when I compared what Missouri did to Ole Miss? Against Ole Miss, that's why I thought Kentucky would have a good run game because of how the offense is talent or how the offense is set up. Rich Rod's offense, quarterback run game.
Yes.
Ole Miss ran for over 400 yards against Vanderbilt, averaged over 8 yards per play. They did that by only throwing, I believe, 14, 15 passes and throwing for less than 100 yards. So it's not like they're throwing the ball. Right. They just ran it. I think it sets up for Kentucky to do the same thing. Just run it all over them. Vanderbilt has the worst passing game in the SEC, might be the worst in the country.
Worse than Kentucky.
Worse than Kentucky.
With the receiver and quarterback. Season.
Right. Now, if you just look at the Bolden stats, it might be a little better. But I'm judging from the season standpoint. So, I mean, it's bad. So, if you stop that and then keep Vaughn in check, the biggest thing is just keeping Keyshawn Vaughn in check. Do not let him get his first 60-yard run of the season. Keep him in check. He's a similar run to Rakeem Boyd, who they did a decent job against outside of the
It was one big play.
The outside zone bust. They're going to run that same outside zone that Arkansas did. Keep him in check. Your defense should be fine. Nick Roush, I think if Kentucky gets off to a lead early, doesn't let Vanderbilt get anything going in the first quarter, there is a puncher's chance that this could be their first shutout.
A punter's chance?
A puncher's chance.
You sure it's not Max Duffy shutting them out? No, as in no punts from Max Duffy?
No, he's going to punt.
Does he have to?
You just need to remember what the playing style is for Kentucky.
Yeah, no. Want to punt. A goose egg would be nice. I don't even think last year's team got a goose egg, did they?
They didn't.
Yeah.
They held Vanderbilt to 7. I think it was the closest they came.
Yeah, Kentucky hasn't held anybody to a shutout in a long time. There was one game where they were getting close, and I went and looked at it.
Missouri, it was one play.
Yeah.
They would have had one there.
It'd be nice to get one, man. And you want to talk about that would be the ultimate get-right game.
Mm-hmm.
Shutting them out. Especially.
Another trend. Kentucky hasn't scored 30 points in an SEC game since the road trip down there 2 years ago in 2017. They didn't do last year. They haven't done it this year. They've come close. They would have 29 against Missouri. Had 28 against Florida. 27 against Florida last year. Even though they put up 8 yards per play, they only scored 3 offensive touchdowns.
You know who was the real MVP in that game?
Florida?
No, in that game 2 years ago.
Saheem King played well. I remember that.
Well, you're forgetting about the play of the game, and that was Charles Walker's fumble recovery when Bowden had like a 50-yard run. And the ball popped.
You talking about the kickoff return?
No, it wasn't the kickoff return. It was the screen.
Yeah, I remember now.
And he goes like 50 yards, and this is the dagger. This is the three score, like, this is the drive you put him out. It was the beginning of the second half. And ball pokes free.
I remember that
And
now.
It's running around, and it doesn't want to go on the sideline. Charles recovers it. Benny scores 2 plays later.
I remember
And
that
then
now.
I think Kentucky ends up just absolutely rolling.
One like 44-21.
Yeah, it ends up just completely stomping him. But it was still kind of in the balance, and if that would have been a fumble, then it would have been like, oh, God, here we go again. But and
that Vanderbilt team was better than this team.
Yeah.
Another stat for you. Since Bill Connolly started his SP Plus rating system, which is like, I believe they started in like
2013.
No, it's lower than that. It's like to the 2000s. Like, I have it back to 2005, but I believe he's been doing it longer than that. So 20 years, an SEC team has never finished in the hundreds. In the hundreds. Right now, Arkansas is 102 and Vanderbilt's 105.
Oh, man.
So this
going
is
going
like,
down to the wire. So, ooh, can we, SEC Championship Week, Vanderbilt, Arkansas?
And.
Toilet bowl.
Put it in the Legion Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Legion Field. Old school SEC championship venue. Hell, yeah, let's do it.
If they did that, we should go and cover it.
Hell, yeah. Oh, man, that would be incredible.
Sign me up.
But you know neither team wants to play.
How funny would that be if each conference – this would never happen, but
– they did a toilet bowl.
On Friday nights, we just had toilet bowls for each conference.
Before the championship games. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And the crappiest stadium in that conference.
Oh, my gosh, that would be great. All right, so – all right, let's figure out what the toilet bowls would be. So in the ACC, you would play. I was going to say the old Orange Bowl, but that
Georgia
stadium
Tech Syracuse.
That stadium doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
No, it would be. Let's think here. Like Duke Stadium.
Duke Stadium. Yeah, they got a track around it. So
either
versus Syracuse.
Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Northwestern.
It might be Nebraska. No, Rutgers. It's Rutgers.
Yeah, Northwestern Rutgers.
It's Northwestern Rutgers, and we're going to play. Northwestern's at least nice. Is there like some old?
I want to say Illinois. That seemed like they have a crappy stadium.
Oh, yeah. But hey, Lovey's going bowling.
Or Indiana.
Though. Indiana would be fun because they're like, what are you even doing here, Indiana?
You know,
why are you here again?
You know, this is funny. Only I will know this. The Big Ten has three Memorial Stadiums. Nebraska, Indiana, and Illinois. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, man. Okay, Big 12, Toilet Bowl. This is
right. It'd be Kansas and...
is Kansas' record that bad?
Yeah, it'd be Kansas, West Virginia. Big 12 is good, though. Like, they have a bunch... Like, every team is pretty close.
Texas Tech.
They're just... They beat West Virginia last week, so that's why I put them above.
Okay.
But Kansas beat Texas Tech.
So Kansas, West Virginia
beat Kansas.
And you play it at Mountaineer Park where they have the dog tracks inside the bowl like Bristol Motor Speedway. There we go.
Kansas Memorial Stadium. There's like a bunch of Memorial
Stadiums. So basically, I think Vanderbilt's Memorial Stadium,
too. It's just Vanderbilt Stadium. It might be Vanderbilt Memorial Stadium.
Like, or it's Memorial Field at Vanderbilt Stadium. There you go. Which, so I think we're seeing a correlation here. Bad teams play at Memorial Stadiums. They can't think of a better name to call their stadiums. And then finally, wrapping it up in the Pac-12, is Buffalo at the bottom?
Buffalo? You talking about we want to go back?
The Buffs. Colorado. Colorado's Pac-12.
See, Oregon State's kind of good this year, so it's not them. Man, let me pull some stuff up here.
Is Kevin Sumlin or is Arizona?
Yeah, they're so weird. Looks like Colorado is the lowest rated for SP.
Yeah, but Boulder's too beautiful.
And then Stanford is a spot below Arizona.
Ooh, empty Levi Stadium.
There you go. 12 people there.
Yeah, I mean, there's only going to be like 100 people at the Pac-12 championship in Levi Stadium anyway.
I'm ready for that thing to move to Vegas.
Back-to-back Levi Stadium games. Oh, man. That was a fun exercise.
You know what's – Utah and Oregon are going to play in probably the biggest Pac-12 championship ever this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they start that game on a Friday night at like 5:30 local time.
Oh, God.
So, like, the traffic is – you know, the traffic's awful out there.
Right. And it's not even like – it's far.
There's no hotels around there.
The center, like where the stadium is far from civilization.
There's going to be nobody there for a huge game. So they need to go back. When they first started that game, they just played it home and home, like, or just whoever had the best record.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it would, but the Vegas, is Vegas next year?
Whenever that stadium gets built.
Because that it has to be. Hell, they should do it where they play the Las Vegas Bowl now, where they used to have the Las Vegas Outlaws. There's the Toilet Bowl.
A dump.
Yeah, there's the Toilet Bowl, mm-hmm. Las Vegas Outlaw Stadium.
When Kentucky is out for the Vegas trip, which I'll be making,
uh-huh.
The Las Vegas Bowl is that Saturday night.
It's a big Saturday. And the Las Vegas Bowl is usually pretty good, and it's going to have an SEC tie-in a
couple years.
Next year?
I think, yeah, whenever they open that
stadium. They're dumping the Independence Bowl, and then an SEC team, they can take one, like one every other year or something. Which that would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun. True.
It'd be a lot of fun. Because this would be a perfect year. You do the double. Do the basketball, football double. Just like the Music City Bowl was Louisville and Music City played.
When Kentucky's out there for basketball again, if their football team's in contention, they're going to be pushing hard for that spot.
Which, by the way, Kentucky's bowl game right now. Charlotte?
Charlotte.
Charlotte versus Miami?
That's what the predictions are.
Pipe dream?
Yeah, because I saw something today or yesterday. They interviewed Bill Hancock, who's the head of the college football playoff.
Uh-huh.
And he said, they asked him, if no ACC team is ranked because they get the top Orange Bowl spot,
right?
If Clemson's in the playoff, will the committee rank until they get to an ACC team? Or will they
just take a top team?
He says, no, the Orange Bowl or the ACC, they get to pick whoever they want there. If that's it, Miami.
They're picking Miami. Yeah. So then you would end up playing like Wake.
Right, or they might plug North Carolina in there to get the basketball matchup, which would be a home game for North Carolina.
It'd be fun though.
Yeah,
Mac Browns.
Belk Bowl, Kentucky's never been to. If you want to look at bowl projections, if you don't have this, then you can't see it. But the guy who does it the best is Stu Mandel at the Athletic.
Yeah, who is his opponent this week for Belk?
He had Miami, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then he had Tennessee and Gator, but the Gator Bowl is still alive. Like, Outback is out now.
Yeah.
But if Kentucky wins out, and if Tennessee...
loses to Vandy.
Well, Missouri. They go to Missouri next week.
Yeah.
So, if you want to get to Jacksonville, do what I'll be doing. I'll be cheering for the Missouri Tigers.
So,
off Tennessee.
I also was looking for dates, times, as far as travel purposes. Belt Bowl.
Noon on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's nice. The noon kickoff's really nice, unless you get too drunk, like my wife allegedly did during the Gator Bowl, and then was hung over by the time I was ready to
it's
go.
It's actually a little better than what they had last year, where it's 1 o'clock on New Year's Day. So you're kind of
pumping the brakes. The one thing on Citrus Bowl, though, is just the ABC.
Well, it's just the atmosphere. It's a big bowl game.
Yeah, yeah. But the Liberty is afterwards. It's at like 4. It's the game that's after Belk.
And you're Central Time.
That would suck.
Your Central Time there.
That would be just horrible. And then Music City's day before is December 30th.
They're not going to Music City.
Oh, geez. Okay, you don't like it.
I mean, they've just been there so many times. They're gonna have options. Like they're just gonna send them somewhere else.
I think you're right too. But those are the big three.
And then Gators January 2nd night game.
Ooh.
Which could be fun if you could get there.
Because that's a Friday. It would be a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night. That'd be kind of weird.
It's Thursday, I think.
31st is a Wednesday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're right.
Well, I want to double check. Christmas is on a Wednesday, so that means New Year's Day would be on a Wednesday. So I was wrong. Thursday night football in Jacksonville. Typically, it's Jags Titans in Color Rush, the pea yellow uniforms versus what is it, Titans? Are they powder blue in their Color Rush?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, we need to get out of here. Luckett, are you? I know you gave us some, like, I just don't want to think about the worst-case scenario. So, when you go down to Vanderbilt Memorial Stadium, home of the Fighting Commodores, where they're anchoring down, what's your one biggest worry, and what's the one reason why you're ultimately not worried?
Ultimate reason is that I just think Vanderbilt's a really bad football team. So, if Kentucky just goes there, plays hard, they're going to be fine. The reason to worry is it's a hangover spot. You know, this game has scared me because of the situation.
As Phil Steele would say, it's a situational play.
Right. And Kentucky's, you know, the line opened at 8.5. It's up to 10 now. It's just a spot that leans towards the home team. But at the same time, Vandy has some variables right now where it could be Derek Mason's last game, home game. We don't know if the team is still locked in, playing hard. You know, it seems like those three skill guys we talked about might have checked out. If they checked out, the whole team checked out.
Right.
So I think the start is everything. If you looked at me after I see the first 10 minutes of a game, I would tell you how I felt about it. I think a lot we're going to know then.
Yeah, well, you got to predict before the first 10 minutes.
I know. I think
that's how this business works. I know you haven't been in it very long, but you got to predict the games before
they're
kicked off.
I'm going to play just – it's going to be completely numbers. I'm looking at how bad Vanderbilt's been. Derek Mason has talked about, like, changes are coming. We're making drastic changes on offense.
Oh, that works out well.
So what does that mean, though? Like, does they go back to Hassan? Do they just spread it out, throw four verticals? Do they win the toss and onside kick? Like, what does that mean? So that's going to have to be the early rush that we're going to have to see what that means. But if Kentucky comes out, hits them with a punch early, it should be Roll City. And I know there are a lot of people freaking out about the offense right now, about wanting to go back to Sawyer Smith. Kentucky's playing three of the worst defenses they've seen since – they're three worst they've seen. Or maybe – and you could throw Arkansas in there. But three worst they've seen since that first 2 weeks of the season. So, then what Tennessee did, these remaining three teams aren't going to be able to do against this offense. So, the big plays are coming for the ground game.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky is going to be able to – they move the football against Tennessee. They're going to be able to move the football against everybody else. And they just got to finish drives like you talked about. So, to me, it's just get off to a good start and everything should be fine. And then you get back, take care of UT Martin, and then I'll focus on Louisville.
And you got to win that one.
Be nice.
Be nice. Nice little signature win on the season. Right. You're beating some bad teams, beating another bad team in Louisville.
Got a little thumped last week. They have a big game at NC State this week. If they lose that one, then their season all of a sudden is reeling a little bit.
Yeah, let's get Scott's toss reeling. Don't make their dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at that game, Bolden gives you a great chance in that game because you're going to be able to should be able to establish the tempo.
And you should be able
sit
to
sit on the ball.
Yeah, you got to sit on the ball against Louisville because they're just big plays.
And the best unit in that game might just be Kentucky's defense. So you take your chances against Kentucky or Louisville's offense. And then
and you can't lose to a guy named Tutu.
And
come on.
It's about time Kentucky. And Tutu is banged up a little bit right now.
Yeah. I mean, of course he is. He's a Tutu.
So we'll see. He's only 100, probably 50 pounds soaking wet. But he is fast as lightning.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's still a lot of stuff in front of Kentucky. I just want to see them bounce back in a tough spot and play well. Bow, bow, bow.
Just hit him in the mouth, punch him in the face, get some juice into that game early so it can be a fun day. It should be a fun time in Nashville.
I'm going to have a good time.
I'm going to be having fun Friday 50 night.
50 and sunny.
Welcome to be having fun Saturday night. Come party with the 11 personnel crew. Thanks to everybody for listening. Shout out to our guy Vinny, who I met at the bar earlier this week. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate all of y'all listening. And for dealing with us as we get through the Tennessee suffering, our long national nightmare is almost over because the Cats are going to kick Vandy's ass.
Time to end Hell Week.
It's going to be over Saturday in Nashville. More like Catsville, am I right?
Sure.
We'll see y'all next week. Go Cats, go Kroger.